Welcome to the Addiction Solution Podcast. I'm Michelle Dunbar. Enjoy listening and watching as addiction experts Mark Sheeran and I cover controversial as well as helpful topics on addiction, how to move past it, and other related subjects. As two of the co-founders of the Freedom Model, Mark and I will give you a completely new perspective on the topics that matter to you. We will take to task the Recovery Society's lies and misinformation and replace them with facts, research, and the methods to move on from addiction struggles without 12-step meetings, rehabs, and the shackles of endless recovery. Let's escape the treatment and recovery trap together and learn to be free. Welcome to the truth.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Addiction Solution. I'm Michelle Dunbar.
And I'm Mark Sheeran. And together with our colleague, Stephen Slate, we wrote that book back there, the Freedom Model for Addictions, Escape the Treatment and Recovery Trap.
Well, for everyone in the U.S., we wish you all a wonderful Independence Day, our 250th anniversary of our country. It's very exciting.
It is. It's a freaking awesome. I remember the bicentennial when I was a kid.
Me too. 76. Yeah. I was six.
That's so funny. Jeez.
I had a bicycle that was a bicentennial bicycle.
Oh yeah. And it had the ribbons on the
end. Yeah, the ribbons. And it had like a banana seat.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Red, white, and blue.
It was awesome. And my sister was turning six right after it, the July 6th. She was turning six right after it.
Cool. So today we're going to talk about misplaced guilt.
But the first thing we want to talk about is we have an upcoming live event on July 16th.
This is 2026 because some people may be watching this.
Right, watching this like next year. We're releasing this late June 2026, and we have an upcoming live event July 16th, which is a Thursday at noon. It is called Moderating After Leaving 12-Step Recovery. Yes, we are going to address that directly, and we're going to announce at that an exciting new product that we have that we're creating, that we're building right now.
And about moderation.
About moderating. So check that out. Below this, there'll be a link on YouTube. If you're watching this on YouTube, there'll be a link right below this so you can enroll in that live event.
We will address also in both that live event and the subsequent product that we're building, moderating drug use as well.
What that might mean.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you had a topic and we were talking about it in the kitchen here at the office.
We were talking about it at lunch today. And that is, well, we actually talked about it yesterday. We had our live Q&A for our online program subscribers and our coaching students yesterday. And we had some really great discussion about, we kind of got on the topic of about guilt, misplaced guilt, and living your life in a way that you're never really present for what you're doing because you're thinking you should be doing something else.
That's really a good way of saying it. That is a really good way. You're never really present. How did you just say that?
You're never really present in your life in what you're doing in that moment. I struggled with that for a really long time, like well into my 30s and 40s, where there was these old scripts, and Mark calls them the ghosts, right? These old scripts running through my head that no matter what I was doing, I thought I should be doing something else. And it could be negative or positive. It was like, if I was, I felt guilty if I slept past 7 a.m. on any given day, like even on a weekend, I could have gone to bed at 2 a.m. and I felt guilty that if I slept late, like that was something wrong with that. I should be doing something else. I felt guilty if I relaxed to watch television at 8 o'clock at night. Because I should be doing laundry or I should be doing, I felt guilty if I was working late because I should be home with my family. And then I would feel guilty if I was home with my family because I thought I should be working. So at any given moment, I was thinking I should be doing something else, and you miss a lot. And it's just, and you're not really owning what you're doing.
That's the key, especially for this audience. So what happens when we have this misplaced guilt and we're not present because we're focused on guilt. We're focused on shoulds, have to's.
Yeah.
What happens is, as you're, remember, your brain is a single processor of this infinite mind. So you're only able to think about one thing. So if you're concentrating on guilt and shame and maybe embarrassment or all these sort of negative emotions, because guilt is a very negative emotion. It's such a heavy laden sort of emotion. When you have that, you can never really look at what you're actually choosing for your life in that moment. And
embrace it. You can't even embrace it.
Yeah. You can't even say, I really want to be here at work and not be with my kids tonight. Now, here's what's interesting about this. If you're focused on guilt because there's a should or a have to or some script from childhood or some ghost that plays in your mind from past experience, you'll literally become so focused on that you're never able to say, I like what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
Because we know you like it at some level because you're doing it. You're choosing it.
Yeah.
So let's use the example of work, because you have two sides to this. You have, I feel guilty that I'm not at work, that I didn't get up at 7 o'clock in the morning for my career. I'm not focused on my career. I'm a bad person. And then you have the flip side of that, which is I feel really guilty that I'm a workaholic and I work too much and it's at the sacrifice of my children and my relationships. In both of those scenarios, if we took away the guilt, you're able to look at, why do I not want to get up at 7?
Right.
Why did I choose to sleep in? Why did I enjoy that? And did I enjoy that? Maybe it was awesome.
Maybe it was awesome, or maybe it wasn't. Right. That's the one thing I think with a lot of this stuff, when I started owning it, when I started really embracing
the moment
and embracing the positive drive principle, right? Which is Michelle, you're always doing what you want to do. So you're doing this. You're getting up at 6 a.m. Is this something you really want to do?
Now, at that moment, though, a ghost may come back, some script from the past of somebody, maybe your father or somebody saying, you know, work has to be number one, or you need to be disciplined. Or
yeah, in my case, be the first one at work every day
and the last one to leave.
I lived by that. Oh, yeah. The last one to leave. I lived by that for years and years and years.
That's right.
Yep. And so I would get up earlier and earlier, and I would be at the gym at 5:30. And I'm not saying these things are bad, but to me, with everything, even when I would get to the gym at 5:30, I would rush myself and think, you know, I should be getting ready for work. I should be with my family. I should be, like, there was always someplace else I thought I should be, something else I thought I should be doing, no matter what it was that I was doing.
Right. So you had learned, your ghost was that you had learned to feel guilty about anything you liked.
About anything that I was doing for me.
Right. So now what's interesting about this is choices are a little more complex than just I'm doing what I want to do. In the moment, yes, that is absolutely true. But there are, of course, consequences and costs associated. Yes. But what happens when you have this sort of misplaced guilt is you're never able to measure the costs because you're focused on guilt.
Yep.
You're never able to ask yourself whether the choice that you're making, your expression of your positive drive in that moment, is still something that brings you great value.
Right.
And in a lot of cases, you do outgrow things and you carry a choice or a series of choices years further because you do them with mindlessly. You do them because that's what you've done. We call that a habit. And then you don't analyze the habit because why? Because you're so focused on how bad of a person you are.
Right.
And so this rut that you get, it's a trap. It's a thought trap. Once you get into the guilt-laden thought trap, there's no way to get out from under what you feel is a rut. And then you have regret. So now, post decision, post expression of your positive drive, you're feeling guilty. And then you further that with regret. And that is, why the fuck did I do that again? And then mindlessly you do it again the next day or maybe a week later. And you go, what is wrong with me? I feel so bad. Well, instead of feeling bad, knock that part of the equation out and say, wait a minute. I chose this.
Yes.
wait a minute, I chose this. And you will find when you do that, what I just described, how hard it is to let go of the habit of guilt.
Yes, because that in and of itself is something that you don't even know you're choosing, because it's so ingrained in you. It's so habitual.
So reactionary to the other choice. So here you have, Michelle said it best. She felt guilty about anything that she was doing for herself because she was taught as the oldest child, she was the scapegoat. So that's what it was. I was the youngest child and I was the scapegoat. So I always felt bad about everything. I got to tell you though, what changed my life young was when I was like 13 to 19, as I was drinking and drugging and going crazy and doing all this stuff, somewhere along the line, I said, fuck this. I'm going to just do what I want to do because I'm getting beat up for it anyway. So I'm just,
you were like that when I met you too.
I stopped giving,
you did everything right.
I stopped giving a fuck. Now what it allowed me to do was when shit got bad, I owned it.
Yes.
And I sat there and I said, holy cow, you know, jail is not that fun. 18 months of rehab in a mental hospital is not that fun. And I think I'm capable of changing my life to something better. But I owned it because even prior to all that chaos hitting and all those consequences and costs happening, I was owning my choices.
Yeah.
And people that were around me were like, dude, you really don't give a fuck. You do whatever you want to do. I go, yeah, I do. And they loved it. They were very attracted to that because most people live by guilt.
It's refreshing. And I can remember having a conversation with you very early on saying to you, I just can't do that. Right. And you're like, well, sure you can. Why? And I'm like, no, I just can't do that. And I went on for years. Like, now I'm not saying that my life was terrible, because the truth of the matter was, there was a lot of great things that were happening in my life. And even the things that I did that felt obligatory, that I was doing out of what I thought was obligation, were things that ultimately I did want. And that's the other part. There's so much nuance here, right? Because that's the other part of this, is when you're doing things that you view as obligatory, you may unnecessarily be making them awful.
Oh, that's a great point.
To do, because you are doing them, so you must want to do them for a reason. And so that's the other part of getting rid of all of that obligation and the shoulds. And it was only after I read, like, my favorite chapter in the book, honest to God, is chapter 15. It was only after I read chapter 15 that I started to look at my life and think, everything is about shoulds. Like, even when I would go work out in the morning, I'm like, I should be working out in the morning. And then I'd feel guilty for it. So, like, that's that level. And I know there are people out there that are listening to this going, holy shit, I do that, right? That level of obligation and feeling like you should and should and should and should and should, and becomes this infinite loop of this unsatisfaction in life. When if you stripped all that away and you just thought what Mark said, which is, I'm doing this, so I must want to do it. And so why do I want to do it? And, or maybe I don't want to do it and I don't have to do it.
It clears the air. It clears all the fog of guilt, shoulds, have tos, labels about your actions. All, you sift all that away. And then what are you left with? You're left with the action and the decision.
Yes.
You strip it away to the action, the decision, and then the action actually. So you've made a decision. I'm going to clean the dishes. You make the decision and you clean them. Now, if you wrap that with, I'm obligated to do the dishes because my roommate is a fuck off and doesn't do them.
Yes.
Now you have just made something that you actually want to do negative.
Negative. Now you feel shitty about it.
Now you may not like doing the dishes more than, you know, some other activity, but you certainly like doing the dishes more than not doing them. So what you do in your benefit to benefit analysis, when you start to analyze without guilt and things like that, is only, you're looking at the action of doing the dishes compared to the action of not doing the dishes, the action of drinking six beers compared to the action of drinking three beers. So Michelle was just having a coughing fit, so we're back. So six beers. So once you start to say, so if you have, if you wrap, let's say, a decision with drinking, I want to moderate, but then you have the idea that you can't moderate. That's a different issue, right? That's a whole different paradigm that you have to tear apart. So we won't get into that. But let's say you feel guilty about drinking at all, three beers. So then you take and you do an analysis and you say, okay, six beers. I really do like drinking six beers because I just did it. So I obviously chose it. I made the decision. I acted on that and I'm going to own that. Now you may feel guilty. You may have all kinds of people around you that are like, you're a fucking alcoholic. What the hell is wrong with you? All these different things, but own it and say, no, that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Then you can say, if you don't wrap in, I'm an alcoholic, I'm powerless, all this bullshit.
I'm a shitty person.
Yeah. I'm bad. I shouldn't have done that. I have to fucking quit. And then you say, what would it be like instead of all that? What would it be like to have three beers? What are the benefits of having three beers? Now, the world changes because once we push out all the needless guilt and shaming that we do to ourselves, humans live so shameful. So many people that I coach live completely just enveloped in shoulds, yes, have to's. And here's another example. Well, once you get past it, let me finish my thought. So once you get past all that, you're able to own your choices, each choice on its own merits. And you get to say, do I really want that? Now, here's what's really cool about this. When you're able to analyze, you're able to change and you're able to adapt to life's changes. You're able to adapt to your age and your wisdom level. You're able to adapt to new people in your life and new relationships and new careers and all these different things, a death in the family, maybe a tragedy. You're able to address all of it very cleanly, efficiently, and without all that fucking baggage.
Yeah.
You don't have any of that anymore. And so it gets really freeing.
Freeing is the word.
That's the freedom model.
That is the freedom model. That is the word. I think, you know, I have to tie this in a little bit to my early years in AA really made that whole guilt and shame and what should I be doing process. Like, it made that worse. It put it on steroids. Like, I had a tough childhood. My dad was relentless about our grades. He was relentless about our athletics, about how we were as kids. Nothing was ever good enough. And so those scripts started then. But when I got to AA, as much as it was progress rather than perfection, that was bullshit. Yeah. Because you had to come to meetings. This is for me. This was my experience. I felt like I had to be at meetings every day. I felt like I had to be totally selfless. I felt like I had to be the spiritual pillar, like, and never not be human. Like, I wasn't allowed to be human.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's when that really started. And I felt guilty for starting a family, right? I was pregnant for my first son, and I was very sick. For the whole first trimester, I was violently ill. It was terrible. And so I wasn't going to meetings and I was sponsoring all these women, and I felt awful that I wasn't going to meetings. And I can remember I'd go to meetings and be in the bathroom throwing up, and my husband would be like, what are you doing? Like, you don't owe these people anything. But I felt this obligation. And it was not helpful. It's not helpful. So I wanted to tie that in there because I think people, when you're leaving a 12-step program, I think that's one of those things that lingers, this obligations, these shoulds, these feeling guilty for doing things for yourself because you are selfish. That's one of those things that you don't recognize right off the rip.
Oh, that kept us embroiled in AA, and the recovery cult in general is this this lie that Bill Wilson told and mainstreamed, that you have to be this spiritual pillar.
That you have to be totally selfless, which it's not even possible, by the way.
And it's ridiculous because it's counter to the positive drive principle, which is you're always involved with self-interest. And so when I came into AA, you're right, it took this guilty, broken person. Now, I was already outgrowing it, though. To her point,
you were. It pulled you back.
I was free.
Yeah,
I was fucking free. And for 6 months, my life was going somewhere. And then, the court system said you have to go into this ridiculous treatment center for 18 months of your life. So, and that eliminated, it brought me right back into the mentality of you're a fucked up guy. You are a bad person. Even though they say it's so misleading and so subtle, and that is, no, you're a good person, Mark. And then they put you in the hot seat and they tell you what a piece of shit you are.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was so confusing and I was so broken by the end of it and so hopeless. And I wasn't hopeless when I quit. You know, from the time I quit for that first 6 months where I was not in treatment and I was not really, I was going to AA sporadically because that's what I thought you did.
Right.
But I was on a journey of rebuilding my life quick, man. I was pretty freaking driven. And they pulled me right back into guilt and this idea that selfishness is the root of my problems. And I was told that my whole life. You're such a selfish kid. And I was a selfish kid because I was neglected. So I had to figure out how to
survival requires that, right?
Yeah. I was literally fighting the world just to remain alive and have some relevance in the world. Yeah. So, it was really, really true. The recovery cult was really detrimental to me.
Yeah. So that's where some of this for some people comes from, right? It's this guilt, this not living in the moment, as Marcus Aurelius said, live in the moment without judgment. And I remember when I first read that and I started to, it's such a simple statement. And I
didn't even understand it at first. And then I had to really look into it.
Yeah, you really had to think about what's he talking about? What does he mean? And I'm like, oh my God, I didn't understand what he meant because I've never done it.
Yeah.
Like I up until that point, there was little snippets of true pure joy. If you are living in the moment without judgment, you can experience joy. If you're not, you can't.
Right.
You can't, because it requires you to feel free. It requires you to embrace that moment. And there were snippets of it, obviously, where you're, and ironically, those times for me were times when I was really sick, where it's because I'm not expected to do anything else, right?
Yeah.
There were times when, like, my children were infants, newborns, you're really not expected to do much of anything else. So I had little, like, snippets of feeling really free and good and happy.
How many times did you, because I do this to this day, I still have that script. Now, I've learned to control this, what we're talking about. I've learned to be mindful of my choices and analyze. But how many times, as sick as I might be with the flu, where I'm just asking God to kill me, I'm also relieved because it's my vacation.
Yes, because nothing is expected of me.
Yeah, and I can finally accept help. Yeah. And I can finally just let, and I do. I'm a complete fucking baby when I have the flu. And I allow my wife to take care of me. I allow people to take care of my workload. And I'm like, why does it take me to literally be on death's door?
Yes.
To go there. Isn't that nuts?
It is. It's problematic.
Yeah.
It's not a good thing. So, so I think when I started to really recognize the idea that you're allowed to do what you want to do at any given moment in time, because you always are anyways. Right.
Yeah.
So, if I can recognize that and embrace it, I'm doing what I want to do, I can change my perspective about what I'm doing in that moment and make an informed decision if this is really what I want.
Well, we had a really interesting discussion in regards to this in the Q&A, so I'll repeat it here. And I think we can end with this concept because it's such a good example. And that is that I said, this fella said, well, what about procrastination? I said, procrastination doesn't exist.
Yes.
Procrastination is a guilt-laden definition label for making one choice over another choice. So if somebody says to me, I want to go smoke crack instead of taking care of my kids or going and working.
Or you're putting off something.
Yeah,
right? I'm putting off going back to college or I'm putting off. Yeah. It could be something simple. Could be something big.
Right. Could be something dramatic. Could be something small. You could be avoiding a lawsuit and just hiding away and procrastinating by going to the state next door for a weekend when you know you really should be. This is where it gets sticky. Should be at court that day. So you're procrastinating, you're kicking the can down the road. Now, here's what's interesting. When you get rid of the label and you get rid of the guilt and you get rid of fear and you just own, I'm going to do this action instead of doing that action. It just means that I like this action more than I like that decision. When you get there, then you can say, and how did that work out? Now you're analyzing without judgment.
Yes.
That's Marcus Aurelius. It's looking at the moment I'm making this choice. I'm not procrastinating, because procrastinating makes it sound like it's some sort of thing.
Like it's happening to you.
Yeah. It's some sort of actual thing that you're involved in, some sort of condition. And procrastination is just get rid of the label, nix it. It's no longer a thing. It doesn't exist. What there is choosing.
Yes.
It's making choices, choosing one thing over another. And then, do I still want to do the one thing over the other? I mean, really, is it, and all of a sudden now your analytical powers become powers. You become a powerful person. You become a self-guided machinery. And at that point, your life will change, because then you start to go, wait a minute, I don't think I want to procrastinate.
Yeah, instead, I don't think I want to put that off. I think I want to get that done right now. And I always use the dishes because it was something that I would procrastinate, right? That I would put off when I was younger. It was something I hated. I'm like, I love doing laundry, hate doing the dishes. So I would put off doing the dishes. And I always was a bit resentful every time I had to do the dishes. And then I realized I hate getting up in the morning to a sink full of dishes. Hate it. And when I stop to think about what do I really want? Well, the truth is I want to get up in the morning to a clean kitchen. And then I spend time being resentful while I'm doing the dishes at night. And I'm like, wait a minute, why am I upset? I want to do this. Why don't I just embrace it and think about, I'm going to have a clean kitchen in the morning.
And then let's say you're resentful at your husband,
Bob,
right? Let's say you're resentful.
Husband.
Then you see where this goes though. So at one point you're focused on, I procrastinate and nothing gets done.
Yes.
Then you get rid of the procrastinate. You start to analyze. No, I actually do like doing the dishes because I like it clean. Now your analytical powers make you change. Once you change, then there's another step. And that is, I'm pissed off about the dishes now. I want to have a clean kitchen, but there's another angle to this. Oh my God, because your analytical powers are working. And then you go, wait, I'm getting resentful. Maybe part of that analysis is, what's the next action? Maybe I should talk to Bob about that.
Yes.
And come to some agreement. Now you went from procrastinating, feeling shitty at night, feeling guilty, feeling shitty in the morning, now being rushed, all the way to two of you doing dishes efficiently after a couple of weeks of figuring an analysis and talking.
Yep.
And problem solving. That is the freedom model, because you're free to think, you're free to change your mind, and you're free to just live the life that you want to live and own it.
Yes.
How cool is that?
It is pretty cool. It's very cool, actually. So, with all of that said, how do we tie this into substance use? You're always doing what you want to do.
Always.
You don't have to do anything. You don't have to quit. If you think of it as a should, I should hate this. I should not like this. This whole idea that you are doing something you don't want to do is keeping you stuck. absolutely 100% keeping you stuck because you're not owning it. You're thinking you're doing something beyond your free will, and you're never doing that. Okay. So own it. Stop feeling guilty about it. Start looking at, set aside the shame and guilt. Start looking at this. This is what I want to do. And let me analyze that and see if it's really giving me what I think it is. And then you're on your way to solving your problem. So if you want to learn about the possibility of moderating, reducing your substance use, changing substances, going to a like moderating substance use after leaving 12-step recovery, then you're going to want to come to our free live event on July 16th. There's a link below this, or you can find it on our Facebook. It's listed on Facebook with the link to enroll. You can go to thefreedommodel.org. There should be a pop-up that comes up that allows you to enroll. I'm going to make sure that that's active because there should be one there. We hope you guys have a wonderful 4th of July.
All right, everybody. Take care.